talking with the experts.
Gain insights with Peter Christian on avoiding common pitfalls, improving profits and achieving operational excellence in episode 543.
They'll say that they want to make changes, but then they won't make changes. Or you'll tell them what changes they need to make after you've done a fairly extensive study and whatever it is that you do. And instead of listening to you, because that's what they hired you for, they fight with you. Okay, they want to argue. And I don't know if you watch any of the TV programs where people go in to fix a restaurant or a bar or whatever the case may be. And the owner is arguing with them and telling them how good they are. And they're going, well, why did you bring me in then? If everything is so good, just keep doing what you're doing and life should be fine. But obviously it's not. By the way, how much longer do you have before you're going to close your doors? Oh, 2 to 3 months. Then I guess everything isn't so fine. So they argue with you. They're trying to justify it. I don't know if it's an ego thing, okay? In some cases, it probably is, or they just don't know any better. But if you're bringing somebody in to help you, then listen to them.
Talking with the experts.
Looking to elevate your brand? Advertise on Talking with the Experts and reach a global audience. With over 36,000 monthly listeners, your message will resonate with a dedicated and engaged community. Hosted by Rose Davidson, our podcast is ranked in the top 100 in Australia and the top 20 in New Zealand. Boost your brand visibility, connect with potential customers, and drive conversions. Our listeners are eager for innovative solutions and expert insights. Let your brand be the one they trust. Ready to grow with us? To learn more about advertising opportunities, contact us today.
Talking with the experts.
Welcome to Talking with the Experts, where we believe that success is a journey, and every journey is easier with help from friends. That's why we bring you top-notch experts and real business heroes eager to share their lessons from the road to success. We delve into new topics each week: effective marketing strategies, innovative problem solving, financial planning, and team building. We tackle everything you need to know to grow your business and keep it thriving. Whether you dream about launching your first startup or a business veteran looking to shake things up, we've got you covered. With each episode, you'll gain knowledge, boost your confidence, and be inspired to take action. So, grab a coffee, make yourself comfortable, and join our exciting journey. You're not alone in this. We're here, guiding you, cheering for you, and celebrating each milestone. Let's turn your business dreams into reality, starting today. Here is your host, Rose Davidson.
Hello, welcome to Talking with the Experts. I'm your host, Rose Davidson from rosedavidson.com. Talking with the Experts is all about business by business owners for business owners. You can find it on all podcasting streaming platforms and on YouTube. Today, my guest is Peter Christian. Now, we're going to be discussing how we can make your business a success, and we all want to know how to do that. And Peter is going to enlighten us with his knowledge, and it's going to in ways that we can increase our success and how we can stop from making those awful mistakes that most of us make when we're first starting out. And, you know, we can learn along the way. And the goal really is to help others and to prevent them from making the same mistakes over and over and over again and get past those and make for a better business. Now, Peter is a founding partner and president of ESPE, a business consulting firm in northeastern the United States, and he was previously an executive at the Crayola Corporation. He's worked with over 300 clients in business development, profit improvement, operations, and implementation and project management. He has over 40 years of experience in strategic and facility planning. I welcome him to Talking with the Experts. Welcome, Peter.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Tell me a little bit about your journey and how you ended up doing what you're doing?
It was an interesting journey. I had the opportunity coming out of college to become a consultant with a large firm known as PricewaterhouseCoopers, now PricewaterhouseCoopers, and didn't feel that I was quite ready for that because I was just coming out of school. I didn't really have the business background, the experience, and I thought me going in front of people who have 20, 25, 30 years of experience in lots of things, and for me to tell them what they're doing wrong and what they should do right, they're going to look at me and go, oh, and you base that on what? So I got into the business world, working for two companies, first Air Products and Chemicals, and then, as you mentioned, Crayola Corporation. So I spent about 20 years in a variety of positions, including as a director at Crayola. Got to know businesses and how they function and what goes on, the different functionalities of them, sales and marketing and quality and so forth. And then when I was looking for a career change, a person said to me, do you know that most of your time has been as a consultant internally with the companies? And I didn't really think about that. So there again, there was that connection back to the consulting world. And now I did have experience where I felt I could talk to folks. So I got into consulting through a university that had a program that I was involved with, Lehigh University in Pennsylvania. And then from there, I started my own firm along with five other folks. And as you mentioned, dealt with about 300 plus companies, all sizes, all shapes, all industries throughout the United States and even internationally, and had a quite successful run doing that. Now I'm trying to help others, small firms, startup firms, students that are getting into the working world to share the experiences that I've had, both positive and negative. And we do run across those. And quite honestly, we learn as much from the negative experiences as we do from the positive ones. So that's kind of my journey in a nutshell as to how I got to where I am today.
Wonderful. And you've also written an Amazon best-selling business book entitled What About the Vermin Problem? And Influences and Influencers. So it's obviously on Amazon. How is that going?
Going very, very well. The first one, What About the Vermin Problem, was a collection of instances that I had, both positive and negative, with companies that I decided someday I would write a book about, and I did. It talks about, again, positive things that companies did that made them very successful. And then things that companies did that weren't so good that made them not so successful. And I think the moral in each of the instances is not that you can't be successful in what you're doing. You just have to make good choices and you have to be involved in what you're doing. Things like commitment. Companies that weren't committed to making the changes that were necessary didn't do very well. If you are committed and you do them, and I have instances of that, then you will do fine. Okay. But it takes that communication. You've got to communicate well. If you don't communicate well, chances are good you're going to have a lot of problems. And sure enough, companies that don't communicate well, and there are a lot of them out there, sad to say, in spite of all the benefits that they have today of communication, do a poor job and they suffer because of it. So, and then companies that do well, quite honestly, if they made bad choices, like agility, good companies are agile and make changes as the marketplace and the industry change. Those that don't aren't going to do so well. So that was the genesis for that. And it flows over to your regular life. I mean, those same things happen in life. Do we make commitments to what we want to do and where we're going to go and what we're going to be? If we do, then we'll do well. If we don't, problems. So it flows over to our regular everyday lives, not just to the business world.
Absolutely. Now, in your view, what makes a business a success?
Well, a couple of things, like I mentioned, agility is one. Now, agility is something that was discovered when some professors out of Lehigh University studied successful companies. They found common traits, agility being, and then they labeled it agility. And it dealt with different principles, such as, like I said, the ability to make changes. Every business goes through changes, okay? And are you going to adapt to those changes and embrace them and deal with them, or are you going to resist them? If you resist them, chances are good you're going to have problems. Let's use an example. We used to go to Blockbuster Video, for people who remember that, and we would rent videos and we would take them home and we would play them. Well, this little company by the name of Netflix came along, and you didn't go to a Netflix store. You got in touch with them and you told them that you wanted to rent a video, and they sent it to you, and then you sent it back to them. And then they evolved further to where you didn't have to rent a video. You could download a video and play it. Blockbuster didn't do that stuff. And guess what? People stopped going to the Blockbuster stores, and there isn't a Blockbuster organization anymore. Failure to adapt to the changes that were necessary. So you need to do that. And there are other aspects of agility, valuing your people and making sure that they're trained properly, especially if you're making changes, dealing with other organizations. And we say, well, we deal with other organizations. Well, what they said with agility is not just dealing with them, but dealing with them in a very close sense where you almost act as one enterprise. You're that close to them. Yeah, we can have transactions with other companies, but if we don't trust them, if we don't give them the right information, if we get rid of them quickly because we find somebody who does it cheaper than them, but we have problems, that's not what we want. So it's a very deep relationship that we have with other organizations. And then adding value to our clients, looking for new things that will add value to what our clients are experiencing with us, the products or the services that we sell. Again, I use Apple Computer as an example. Apple was known for the Macintosh and for the iPad and the iPod and all those great things. But what they do now is most of their business is providing the apps that they use on those devices. 70% of Apple's business is with applications, not with the things themselves. Big change, because that's what people wanted. Okay, you gave me this great implement to use. What am I going to do with it? Here's a plethora of apps that you can use, okay, and services that you can. So that type of thing. Like I said, commitment. Being committed to doing the things that you say and making the changes. And when you have problems, using other people, whether it's you or me or somebody else to help, because we don't all have the right answers, okay? And there's nothing wrong with using a consultant where necessary, where you need the expertise and maybe some assistance, a different viewpoint to look at the things you're looking at and to help to guide the company along. So those are some of the big things. There are plenty of other things. We could spend a lot of time talking about them, but those are some of the biggies, I think.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I think, you know, all of those things are, especially adaptability is key. You know, when the pandemic hit in 2020 and a lot of bricks and mortar businesses closed because they didn't adapt to the changing environment. And, you know, a lot of them didn't realize that they could actually take their bricks and mortar business and go online, and people could actually order online or visit, you know, and order their products or services online. And so a lot of businesses just failed to take that step and adapt to, as I said, the changing environment of the time. And it's such a pity. And that's why I started this podcast, because a lot of bricks and mortar businesses were closing, and I wanted to offer them an avenue that they could learn, you know, steps that they could take during that time, because no one knew how long it was going to be before they could, you know, reopen their stores. So, I've gained quite a successful podcast through through my adaptability to be able to see, you know, that people needed help. And and it's been great. But you're right, adaptability is, I think, is key to any business's success, because times are changing all the time. And you know, if you don't adapt, you die.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And also, when things get tough, be careful about what you do. Right away, companies want to slash payroll. They want to get rid of people and so forth. I had a consultant I worked with in project management who worked with the company that does insulation products, the Pink Panther. And he was brought in at the time when home sales were down. Contractors weren't having as much business. So of course the need for insulation wasn't as great. And he was brought into the company to help them do downsize and ride the tide. And what he did instead was he said, give me three or five of your brightest people. And they brainstormed. And what they came up with was, well, people aren't buying new homes, but they're living in the homes that they're in, and they're making improvements to it. So they went out and sold the insulation to the home builders to improve their current situation, and they didn't lay anybody off, and business thrived. Because he said to them, you know, we can lay all these people off, but what happens when the business turns around or industry turns around and you need these people and they're all gone because you let them go? You can't just get them back. They're not going to sit there waiting for you to call them to come back. So that hit me. And when my company, ESPI, had a problem in 2008, if we all recall, with the mortgage crisis and interest rates went up and lending became a difficult situation, well, companies were cutting back on things like consulting. What we did is we didn't let anybody go in my company. We all took a pay cut. We rode the tide through with less money, and we watched our costs and so forth. And then as business expanded, we were all there to work. And guess what? As things got better and we accumulated money, we paid people back the money that we didn't pay them during that lean time. So they got all their money back. It was a little bit deferred. Nobody lost their job. Our company was intact and off we went. So that had a big impact on me. So I've never been a big advocate of, if things get a little bit tough, start cutting heads here and there. Wrong way to go, can lead to long-term issues for you and long-term problems.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, and you know, you start cutting back here or, you know, here and there, and you're right, those people won't come back to your business. They would have found alternative employment elsewhere, to, you know, because they can't go without their income either. So
sure, they don't know how long you're not going to have them, you know, so they've got to live. I always felt, when you hire somebody, you're responsible for that person and their livelihood. So you've got a big commitment on your shoulders. Unless they're doing something terrible that's really harming the organization, you've got a responsibility to them and to their families. So that's a big point with me as well. And I think if companies realize that, they'll take a lot better attitude towards their employees and realize that they truly are their greatest resource.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. Peter, you know, what are, through your time as a consultant, what are some of the mistakes that businesses are making that you've noticed? And, you know, how have you turned that around so that their business can now thrive?
Well, they'll say that they want to make changes, but then they won't make changes. Or you'll tell them what changes they need to make after you've done a fairly extensive study and whatever it is that you do. And instead of listening to you, because that's what they hired you for, they fight with you. Okay? They want to argue. And I don't know if you watch any of the TV programs where people go in to fix a restaurant or a bar or whatever the case may be. And the owner is arguing with them and telling them how good they are. And they're going, well, why did you bring me in that? If everything is so good, just keep doing what you're doing and life should be fine. But obviously it's not. By the way, how much longer do you have before you're going to close your doors? Oh, 2 to 3 months. Then I guess everything isn't so fine. So they argue with you. They're trying to justify it. I don't know if it's an ego thing. Okay. In some cases, it probably is. Or they just don't know any better. But if you're bringing somebody in to help you, then listen to them. They're here to help you. They're not here to fight with you, okay? And if you disagree with them, I think the problem's on you. Because, they're looking at it from a different perspective. I had that with clients, okay? Or sometimes it was the, I'm smarter than you and I'm going to show you how smart I am. Okay, you're smarter than I am, but guess what? You got a problem and I'm here to help you fix it. If not, again, save your time and money. Don't spend it on me. Just keep doing what you're doing if you have all the answers. But if not, you better listen to me. I had one company, they wanted to put in a clean room system, okay? So we got to the point where we had all the stuff, set, all the designs and that. We had the companies come in with the pricing on the clean room system. And the owner calls me and says, oh, we're not going to do that. We're just going to put air conditioners in. I said, that's not a clean room. Okay. Air conditioning will cool, your room and it'll take, some of the humidity out. But a clean room system takes all the particulates out of the air. And you can have different, you can get to where there's basically nothing in there. That's true clean room. I said, that what you're doing isn't a clean room. And if that's what you're going to do, I want to have no part of it. Because my reputation, my company's reputation is on the line here. And the guy got mad at me, but it's like, you don't know what you're talking about. You've never done this before. We have. And now you're going to argue with me. So we walked away and it failed on their end. Okay. But it's better sometimes to walk away from that than to try to convince somebody for whatever reason. Okay. In his case, I think it was being cheap. He didn't want to spend the money. Well, guess what? Then you're not going to have a clean room environment. Things like that. So that's a big one. Communication or lack of, like I said. Okay. Companies that don't communicate well. All right. They don't tell their people what's going on. They don't listen to them. All sorts of stuff like that. And again, what I always say is there's five parts to communication. First one is I send you a message. All right. And it could be email, text, whatever the case may be. That's part one. Part two then is, did you actually get it? And sometimes you don't. All right. Things get lost. How many times have you sent you an email and you say, I never saw it. I never got it. That's part two. You got to make sure that they got it. And that's up to you. You should follow up with them. If you don't hear within 24, 48 hours, you need to say, hey, Rose, did you get that message that I sent you? Part three then is, did you read it? Okay. If you didn't read it, there's no communication going on just because I sent it to you. So part three is, did you read it? Okay, you read it. Part four, do you agree with what I said in there? In some cases, you may, and everything is fine. In other cases, you may go, well, there was a piece in there I wasn't so keen about, and let's talk about that, because I'm not quite sure that I agree with what you're saying. All right? And if you get that disagreement, then part five is come to the resolution about what you're going to do, okay, to where you have an agreement, and then do something about it. All right? So there's five steps to a good communication. Well, how many times does somebody send out that text or that email, never follows up, and they said, well, I communicated with. No, you didn't. You sent an email. You sent a text. You sent a memorandum. Whatever you did, but you didn't communicate because you didn't do the other four steps.
Absolutely. And that's where a lot of, the communication breaks down because, and sometimes too, the written word can be misinterpreted. What the sender intends is not always received in the same intent. So, sometimes it's better just to get on the phone or a Zoom meeting or FaceTime or something where, because communication sometimes is all about the visual of the conversation rather than the words that are spoken. And communication is a huge, huge thing, not only in business, but in personal. I mean, I know from experience that, I've sent an email and I've intended it to be all happy and whatever, but the words weren't received in that way. And, they got really upset with me and I I didn't understand why. And yeah, it's because I didn't communicate in a way that they understood. And so that's really important. If you're writing something, you know, you have to take the receiver in mind to make sure that your words are, that you're using are, you know, going to be received in the appropriate manner.
Sure, because when you say something to somebody, look for the reaction. Body language says a lot. They may be going, and you see how it's tense and stiff and all. Well, they're not agreeing with you. They're saying, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but they're not agreeing with you. And different cultures, you know, different things. I've dealt with Asian people where they nod a lot. That doesn't mean that they understand what I'm saying or agree with it. They're just going, like, yeah, I hear what you're saying. Okay. And again, good communication, you need to have that agreement. If you're telling somebody to do something, or you're asking them to do something, or you're asking for their opinion, you need feedback from them. And if you don't get that, then you don't have good communication. Okay. And, you know, we say things differently in different cultures, and what may be perfectly fine to me might be insulting to somebody else, and you got to be careful about that. So,
absolutely,
yeah, there's all sorts of stuff involved with communication. Like I said, it's not just sending that missive out and saying, well, I communicated with so-and-so.
Absolutely. No, can't agree more. Peter, where can people find you if they'd like to know more about what you have to offer, or indeed find out how they can make their business a success?
Okay. Well, there's this little thing called LinkedIn. I think that people are familiar with, and I am certainly on there. Okay. And a lot of people send me notes about things that I write about. I usually post 3 or 4 times a week, and I just sent an article out today on LinkedIn, and I will get feedback from people about that. You know, it's about excuses, about people making excuses, not doing anything and making excuses. Okay. So you can get in touch with me on LinkedIn. You can go to my website. I have a website. It's Pete. It's my name, but without the R, PeteChristianBooks.com. All right. And there is also a place you can write to me and say, I would like to talk, or again, there's articles on there. You can look at them and comment on them. And the third one is my email, and that's PH, which are my initials, Christian, and the number 53@gmail.com. And again, you can drop me a line and say, hey, I was listening to you on Rose's show, and I agreed with something, and I would like to talk about it, or I disagreed with it, you know, just like good communication. I'd like to talk about it, or I'm having an issue, and I think you might be able to provide some insight to me, which is great, and I would certainly be happy to do that. So any one of those three, you can get in touch with me, LinkedIn, my website, or on my email account.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Now, I ask most of my guests this question, and usually puts them on the spot, but if you were to offer some advice or some little bit tidbit of information to our listeners today, what might that be, Peter?
One, don't be so set in your ways that you don't listen to other people and opinions and facts and so forth, okay? Now, that doesn't mean that you're entirely wrong. It doesn't mean that you throw out all the things that you've been doing, because you've probably been doing a lot of good things. But like with everything, time marches on. There are different ways to do things. There's different things that you can learn, and you should be learning throughout your career. I'm still learning to these days after 40 plus years. Listen to other people. Understand what they're saying. You know, again, don't have to agree with it 100%. But you can take tidbits from that can help. Be adaptable to change. Change is always occurring. Okay, it will always occur. You need to pick out the things that need to be done and do it on a timely basis. Don't be following the curve. Be part of the curve. Okay, and do that. Value your people. Okay. And if you don't have all the expertise that you need, seek it out. You don't have to hire somebody. You can rent them, like a consultant. And that's what we are, rentals. And they can help you for a period of time to straighten out whatever it is you need, and then you can move on. So I think if you do those basic things, okay, you should be very, very successful. If you don't, if you think you got all the answers, if you're unwilling to change, if you're not listening to other people and you're not receptive to new ideas, you're going to struggle because the world is constantly changing. Okay. We see it. Okay. Things that are true today in a month or a year or whatever are going to be slightly different. Okay. So we have to keep up with those things.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more, Peter. That's great advice to give and something that, you know, we should all take into account in our daily lives. Peter, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you very much for having me.
You've been listening to Talking with the Experts, hosted by Rose Davidson. Make sure you have a look at our back catalogue over at talkingwiththeexperts.com. And be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss out on any episode. We look forward to your company next time. Talking with the Experts.